Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the Kia Exceed plug-in hybrid.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Joe at RT.ie. Last week, there were 484 driving tests cancelled at the last minute, it seems, because we've one caller, among others. We'll get to them in a sec. My son was due to take his driving test last week, and after paying for it all and all the extra pre-test lessons, hired a car, did a pre-test lesson, he went and was told by the driving tester that he would be unable to do the test as his ears were too cold. Now, the RSA say 484 tests were cancelled in last week alone because of the weather. John Morgan. John, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You're a driving tester. You fully understand.
No, just correct you there.
You're
a
driving instructor.
Formerly a driving tester, but I hold a permit now to an ADI permit.
To do instruction.
Correct.
Good man. So you used to be a tester. Do you, come in support or questioning?
No, I'm not questioning it at all. I mean, testers have a hard job to do. They've got to make a decision on somebody's driving, and they've got to be, you know, damn sure that they make the right decision in the end.
My son was at the test centre for 2 p.m. His test was scheduled for 2:20, and he got a text message at 2:18. Cancelling it.
Is
that acceptable?
It is if the circumstances are, if the weather conditions and the circumstances aren't safe for taking somebody out on the road.
Nearly 500 tests, 484, cancelled last week alone for weather-related reasons. Have you ever heard such a number? Apart from when the, and by the way, the beast from the east never arrived last week. Didn't arrive. No sight or sound of it.
Well, can I put it to you like this, Joe? I mean, you know, I mean, the last 12 months, things have been, you know, very difficult for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who is working, or particularly those in essential services, and the driving testers would fall into that category. Now, I'm not here defending them. I'm just here.
To explain,
just asked on basically because I was formerly a tester under contract to the RSA. So I have an idea of more or less what those chaps are and girls are facing into every day. And, I mean, you see, before when you had bad weather, okay. We didn't have the situation where we had COVID and all the extra precautions that had to be taken, i.e. face masks and all the sanitizing, disinfecting.
Mm-hmm.
This whole situation where now, I mean, you can't have fans or any heating on the car.
Why can't you have heating on?
Because the air circulation within the car would spread the virus.
Okay, and do you have to have the four windows open, John?
Well, again, that's entirely up to the tester, but normally it would be that at least all windows would be that are able, they're able to open, are opened.
This is because of COVID and ventilation.
Correct, yes, so that there's an airflow through the car.
Well, it seemed to me, why not? Is there, and it's an enclosed space and it lasts for longer than 15 minutes.
Correct.
So you're bunched.
Well, I'm not here defending the RSA, but in fairness to them, in their approach, they changed their standing, their normal standing operating procedures in relation to cars. Now, I mean, there was particular procedures in relation to commercial vehicles that were always there, but they decided wisely that for an aspect of it, that's the reversing around the left-hand bend, which is carried out on the Class B vehicle, which is the normal, the car of the 3.5 tons, that they would get out of the car for the reverse. Now, that's normally done in a commercial vehicle. So they just, if you were testing somebody for Class B and they turned up with a van, a commercial van, you know, you'd carry out, you'd be getting out of the vehicle.
Well, is there any way? I'm not being facetious, but for the test on a motorbike, the tester is in a car behind. Is that correct?
Can be, not necessarily. Could be in a bike or can be in a car. Yes.
But he's not on the pillion passenger. He's not the pillion passenger on the motorbike.
No. He'd be on a separate bike.
He or she.
And
he or she is in contact with the trainee by walkie-talkie or whatever.
It's only one way, Cinco. So that the applicant can hear the instructions.
Yeah.
But the
instructor says go left, go right.
Correct.
And there's no way you could do that in a car. Because it seems to me you could argue, any tester could argue, and 500 of them did last week, 500 tests cancelled at the last minute, and in Louise's case, the last 2 minutes. You could argue that in the current situation, unfortunately, with COVID and infections and all the things that are involved in the car and closed space, ventilation, et cetera, is there another way of doing the test? That's my point.
Well, you're asking, unfortunately, you're asking the wrong man. You have to be asking somebody fairly senior up in the RSA.
Okay. Stay there, John. Dee Harris. Dee, good afternoon. Midlands School of Motoring. Have you or any of your trainees cancelled last week?
Yeah, hi, Joe. It's extremely chaotic at the moment there. You really don't know. Like, when I'm sending people forward now for a test, I say, don't be surprised if it's cancelled for absolutely no reason because it's too cold out, because it's happened a number of times. Mm. And it really doesn't make any sense because they're working to try and keep a trickle of tests going through, you know. So if they're not going to do them, if they're going to be refusing to do them in the first place, what's the point in letting people book, psych themselves up, spend the money on pre-tests, and then they show up and they were told, no, it's a bit cold. It's Baltic, actually, is what the word that was used with my client. And, you know, it's desperately unfair to those young people, you know, and it's a complete waste of time for the pupil and the sponsor driver that's come with them.
And money in this caller's case. We hope to have her in a few minutes. Her son hired the car and did the pre-test lesson. Both cost money.
Yeah. And then people are taking time off work as well, you know, and it just doesn't make sense. I don't know why this is happening. It wasn't happening a couple of months ago. And there was no weather issue the day this happened to my client. And I had a second client and the tester was kind of trying to cancel, saying it was Baltic out and, you know, are you an essential worker? Yes, I am. I'm a teacher. And it was like, well, you know, it's very cold out there. And he was begging. He was like, please take me out today. It's the third time a test has been put off. Please take me out. And in fairness, the tester did. But they were looking to cancel it. And it was really just because it was a bit cold out. And, you know, the instructor is standing out in the freezing cold all the time. You know, when their car is being used, we're standing out in the freezing cold. We just wrap up, you know.
And how, on the day that was involved, if the tester said it's Baltic.
Yeah, which we thought was kind of amusing. But the young lad and his dad were extremely angry. You know, they really were. Because
and what was, you, this, do you know, what was the temperature in the car?
It was about 3-4 degrees out.
Okay.
But the strange thing was that she said to him at first that it was Baltic, and he didn't really understand why she was saying that. This was all on the phone, you know.
Mm.
And then the tester said, she said, are you an essential worker? And he said, yes, I'm an SNA. And she said, well, you're not back at work yet. And he said, no, I go back on the 22nd of February. She says, just reschedule it for next week, like it was no big deal. I mean, that's extremely unfair to him, a terrible waste of both their times, you know, the father and the son. Desperate. And it just made no sense.
And then
can I just come back in
yes,
there?
Yes, John,
for,
yes. 5-1-5-1, my chance. Go ahead,
I mean, testers, for example, they have to give a very good reason. And not only that, but if they're going to turn somebody away, it has to go down a report. Because I don't know whether any of the general public are aware, but so any test can be questioned, you know, can be brought to the district court and questioned.
How many people do that, John?
Yeah, but
who'd waste their time? I mean, it's just
But hold on a second. look at it from the other angle. I mean, that means a tester has to be prepared to stand up in front of a district justice, you know, to give an account of why he turned down the test.
Yeah, I have no idea why it's happening. I'm not saying that the tester is choosing to do it.
Can I give a very simple solution? There is a section on the driver's report or in which refers to secondary controls. Now, heretofore, if an applicant allowed the inside of the cab to steam up and the windows fogged up,
but the windows are pulled down.
Yeah, but heretofore, Joe, you see, the windows fogged up. Normally, I mean, it's ideal that the windows are fully down, but I mean, there are times when it's pouring rain, so you couldn't drive around the car.
That's true.
All the windows fully open. And
so, well, hang on. John said he had a solution. Go ahead, John.
No, it's not that I have a solution, but
you have a suggestion.
What I'm trying to say is that there is a safety issue here as well, in the sense that if there isn't an ability to keep the windows are there, any of the screens clear, even if some of the windows are open.
Mm-hmm.
As you can imagine, in a test, it's a very stressful situation for the applicant.
Yeah.
You know, the heart is going, the sweat is going, the breathing is going, and therefore, inside a cab of a car or a van gets fogged up, the windows, no matter what effort you might make, if you're not allowed to have the fans on and you're not allowed to have the heating on, it's going to get fogged up.
No, I don't agree with you. Not if the windows are open. It was a fine-ish day and the windows are open. It wouldn't get fogged up. And they didn't even get an opportunity to go out. And I'd understand if you went out and you were driving and doing the test and it was getting fogged up, say, oh, here, listen, this is not working. We're going to have to do it another day. But that's not what happened. It just seemed to be just completely arbitrary. No, we're not going to do the test. Just book it again for next week. Like, it's no problem. You just take more time off work, bring yourself over here. It's very unfair. It's extremely unfair. And I would really wish that it would be sorted out, because we don't know.
Well, I'm just looking at the RSA statement here, Dee. You have two chances, to be brutally honest. It's a very robust statement. And they say driving tests, the issue is safety, and we will always put safety paramount. And 484 tests were cancelled for weather-related situations, including unsafe conditions on the roads around the test centres. Ice and snow.
No, it's kind of rubbish, really, honestly. You know, and I'm not one to be always to bone, really, but it's just, I'm really doing this for the sake of
most driving tests are being cancelled because roads around the test centre are potentially dangerous
due to the severe weather.
Where was the severe weather?
There was no severe weather. We had no snow in Port Leash, Port Ireland, that area. We had none, zero.
Now, the problem is, in Ireland, when we hear the phrase, the beast for beast, or we get a seasonal icing, dusting of snow, people go into apocalyptic mode.
Yeah.
They start digging bunkers. They start getting under the... It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And every news report is, are you ready for the snow? And the snow didn't arrive.
Maybe
and even
that's
if it did,
it
even if it did arrive, so what?
Yeah, I mean, maybe that is what it was. It was just in the psyche that, you know, the roads are dangerous because we've been told they weren't going to be for the last 2 weeks. But I hope that going forward it's not going to be the case, because, you know, it's an awful lot of people getting themselves, you know, trying to get themselves prepared to get their full licence because they need it. They're the
essential workers.
Matter,
according to the RSA, it is a matter of health and safety, which the RSA and its testers take very seriously.
Yeah, well.
So, anyway, if that's the case, why would you ever let someone who's not qualified to drive a car while they're sitting in it?
And why are they conducting the tests at all then? Cancel them if you're going to be doing this to people.
But is there another way of doing it? Can you do a... Don't laugh now. Can you do a simulator? Can you do...
I often thought about in my mind.
Can you do it in an enclosed... Can you do it in an enclosed setting where...
Well, not that I know of. Not yet.
The instructor can... No, the instructor can say to the... With a camera in the car, the instructor can say to the... Which are... 10 a penny now and Lidl. The instructor can say to the applicant, okay, drive 100 yards, drive, go left, go right, reverse, do a 3-point. Why not?
I don't think so. Maybe in the future. Now, if they had a real simulator like they do for airplanes, maybe, but I can't do it.
Okay, Seamus Quinlan. Good afternoon, Seamus and colleague in Ballincollig, County Cork. Seamus, you're a driving instructor.
That's right.
So are you out instructing at the minute?
Sorry?
Are you instructing these days?
Not since last March.
Okay.
And I'm 27 years teaching people how to drive.
Good man. And Dee, are you out instructing at the minute?
Not Sorry? Really, just somebody who has maybe a pre-test. So it's no, there's no okay. EDT lessons going at the moment. It's just people who have a test.
So, Seamus,
the line is very bad, Joe.
Okay, well, Seamus, you're saying you sitting in a car for somebody longer than 15 minutes is a death trap.
My GP advice was if you sit in a car with somebody with the virus for more than 15 minutes, you will contract it.
So you're bunched.
Sorry?
You're gone. You won't be testing. You won't be instructing.
No, not until everybody's injected.
And what do you think? Well, don't be buying a new car this year. Don't be buying a 2.0. Don't be buying a new car this year because you won't be testing this year way the vaccination is going. But Seamus, what do you think of the RSA line is that we had nearly 500 tests cancelled last week, but they were all justified because of the weather.
No, it wasn't because of the weather. I don't know what it was. Maybe they wanted some free time for themselves.
No, you can't say that. But I'm going. Do you have to go on what the RSA are telling us?
I know. Yeah, we've no choice. But it's just to highlight the fact that you know a lot of people are losing money on this, and it's quite unfair. And they need to sort it out. Either the tests are going ahead or they're not. It can't be willy-nilly at the last minute you're told when you get over there all psyched up that, oh, no, it's not going to go ahead, it's a bit too cold. I mean, that's just not good enough.
OK, Daly.
If it goes below 10 degrees, we don't do the test. Something, I don't know what it could be, but it's not necessarily the tester's fault.
The
RSA haven't given enough direction so that they know what's safe, what's not safe.
John Morgan back here.
Yes, John. Yeah.
Joe, weather in this country is very localized as well. Just because I take these points in one aspect.
Yeah.
In Port Leash, the sun could be shining, but down here in Wexford, we could be getting a heap full of snow, you know, and you know, so the tester has to make the decision on the ground, and it has, you know, in a sense.
Which should make sense.
Joe at RT.ie. Ian Daly is a driving instructor. Ian, have you had many of your clients cancelled, do you know?
Hey, Ian, Joe, I actually haven't, but to be honest with you, I'd be making my points very clear with the RSA. If what's happened, I've witnessed them, other instructors. I've been at the Raheny Test Centre very recently. One of my colleagues, Philip Kerwin, I think, was on, and one of his pupils in Piffery. What I found, it was obviously very, it was cold, it was quite windy. But I've seen, before his test went down, I've seen two testers going out to cars who refused to take them out for whatever reason. So I think that day I was only become aware that this situation was actually happening because it didn't happen to any of my pupils. But I found it absolutely ridiculous that if we're going to conduct a pre-test where people, especially an essential worker now, needs a test, we're driving under exactly the same conditions. You can open your windows a little bit. I've seen testers open the windows fully a few weeks ago where really actually it didn't help one of my pupils because it was so noisy and cold coming in. One of the testers actually insisted that each window on the driver's side and passenger side is fully open, which means it wasn't even as windy as it has been, but it's extremely cold in the car for that length of time. And it did affect my people's ability to
Are you saying that the tester insisted that only the windows on the driver's side were open?
No, both sides.
The four windows.
Yeah, no, so there has to be two windows open on both sides, the driver's side and the passenger side. But some testers are allowing the people to take the option to open the back window instead of the driver's side window. But they do have protocols that say that two windows have to be open inside the car. But it really depends on the tester, because some testers are going out on tests where they're only open very slightly at the very top. But some testers are insisting that they're open fully. Now, obviously, in that kind of freezing cold, windy conditions, you can't open the window fully. But
I presume, I presume the applicant is wearing a mask.
Yeah.
And the testers wearing a mask.
The testers gave each pupil a new mask.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to conduct a driving lesson or a pre-test in these conditions, I'm not going to cancel a lesson because it's too cold. But you have to obviously adjust the windows and adjust the heat in the car. I've seen testers going out. One particular tester, he's a big guy. He's a really big winter jacket on with a big fluffy hood. He had a hat on his head. And he still didn't conduct the test. All you need to do is adjust the heat, open the windows. Obviously, we all want to be safe during these conditions for instructors and testers as well as test applicants.
Is that not a good point, John yeah. Morgan, that you can wrap up warm. As Ian said, he saw a tester who had a hat on, he had a chihuahua on his head or whatever, an anorak with the big furry edging. You can wrap up.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm an ADI as well. And that's why, as an ADI, I do my best to mimic the test conditions when I have applicants who have test appointments and come to me and say to me, look, John, I want to do some training. I have my test application date and time here. And can you take me out to show me exactly what's going to happen? And I do. And I do prepare them as best I can. And it's up to each one of us as ADIs.
Let me go to Louise Nugent. Louise, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Your son was due to take his driving test when?
He was due to take his driving test last Thursday. And when he got to the test centre in Blanchardstown, 2 minutes before the test was about to start, he got a phone call to come to the door from the instructor. And when he got to the door, they told him, he actually said that it was too cold out, that his ears were too cold, and that he wouldn't be conducting the test because he wasn't going to risk getting an ear infection for somebody to pass a driving test.
So it wasn't the COVID he mentioned. It was too cold for his ears.
It was too cold for his ears, yeah. Cold for his ears.
That's ridiculous.
No, that can happen,
well,
Ian.
It's not. I mean, disagree entirely.
John, yeah.
I disagree. I mean, you've got to take people as you find them. And some people, they're doing a job, but they may have an underlying illness or suffer from a weakness in some way. And it's up to them.
But this man actually did 3 or 4 tests that morning. It was 3 degrees out in Dublin, which is standard for a February day. It wasn't icy. It wasn't overly windy. It was a normal day, and he had conducted 3 or 4 tests previous to that.
No, I accept that. And as I said earlier, look, I accept that. But the tester, at the time that the test is about to be carried out, or even during the test, they're constantly assessing whether it's safe.
Yeah, I understand.
And if it's not, it's pulled.
And Ian,
if there's a full report written, yeah, go ahead, yeah.
Ian Daly, yeah.
Like, the conditions have been dry, okay? Like, obviously you can't do a test in icy conditions. Even if it's driving rain, obviously, what are the testers doing if it's really heavy rain? You can't open the windows at all. They have to be open a little bit. But at the same time, I can conduct a driving lesson, so can a tester. And if somebody's hiring my car to use a test, I'm stuck outside.
Yeah, but the difference is, Ian, if you don't give the driving lesson, I'm not paying you.
Well, at the end of the day, let's say there's actually people risking their jobs to do the test. They need a license badly. They're travelling distances up and down the country.
And is there a delay, is there, because of COVID generally, Ian?
Well, there is, but the testers are adding to it. Like, we find they're just on a walk to real. I don't think they actually want to walk at all.
No, they do.
During this level 5.
I don't think they do either.
No, that's...
But at the same time, it's a bit much to turn up to the test and be told that it's too cold. I think there's ways around that you can... I think there's scientific evidence to say that they have to be open a certain point to have the COVID particles to come out of the car. Obviously, the windows do need to be open to a certain point. But at the same time, if I can conduct a lesson during the same conditions, why can the test go ahead? I'm in the car for an hour. Sometimes a lesson might be 2 hours.
Yeah, but my understanding...
What's the difference?
I'd love to have someone from the RSA on to talk.
But Joe...
But like, I know Maya is gone, but the he used to be a spokesperson, or the chairperson used to speak a lot about. But like, but from my reading of the RSA statement here, and it's very robust, I think they're saying if a driver tester says he or she is not doing the test, end of. End of.
That's what my son was told on the phone by one of the managers of the actual driving test section, that it was health and safety. If he didn't want to do it, well, then he didn't have to do it, and that was end of story.
Okay, Joe, good afternoon, Joe.
Hey, Joe, how's things?
You're a driving instructor.
I am, and I walk out of Finglas. I know Ian as well up there, the two of us walk out of Finglas. Very good.
Hey, Joe.
Okay.
How are you, Ian? And I've been up there a few times since Christmas, and the test was cancelled. Now, last week, the test, two tests were cancelled early in the morning, 8:30 and 9:30. But your man came out and he said that they assessed the roads, the side roads, 15 minutes before the test. Now, I'm 23 years doing this, and a couple of years ago, they used to give you a text to say that the tests were cancelled before that. And they could easily do that now, because everybody knew it was going to be Baltic the next day, because it was on RT. I mean, you want to be a complete idiot not to have known that it was going to be icy and wet and cold, or cold, you know what I mean? So they could have, you know, text people before half nine, because you know yourself, Joe, the roads are going to be iced up on at least 10 o'clock. So to stop somebody coming down, rather than them hurrying
and who is, Joe, who is, I take those points, who is getting the test at the minute? Is it only, because of such a backlog, is it only essential workers?
Well, Joe, I've never seen so many essential workers.
I take that point, but the other, but the other element of it is, Joe, and I know no one would drive deliberately on a provisional license without a fully qualified driver in the passenger seat, but at the minute, there are so many checkpoints, you are going to be stopped if you are on
a network. Once you have the letter from the essential driver, and a lot of them have it on their phone. Now, another point that you want to take into consideration is
Sorry, can I come in there?
Yeah, but another point you want to take...
Let Joe finish. Let bring you back in now, Joe.
Can I just finish there? Another point that I'd like to make is that at the moment, the government guidelines are that you do have to drive with the window slightly down. So in fairness to the road safety authority testers, they are going by the rules laid down by the government. And I accept that. But we have to drive with the windows down. So if we can drive with the windows down, surely they can.
But the RSA also make the point, it's in their first paragraph, the driving test is conducted in an enclosed space for a period of 15 minutes where physical distancing is not possible. The next sentence should be, therefore, all driving tests are cancelled.
Exactly, Joe.
Until further notice.
And like,
if safety is the issue.
They're saying it's an enclosed space and you can't do it. They're getting out of cars to watch the people doing the reverse around the corner. They're not sitting in the car because the person has to turn to the left when they're reversing around the corner. The tester is actually getting out of the car and standing on the corner.
Okay, quick break, and I'll bring John back in. Another call is after this. 51551, Marchand.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
According to the Road Safety Authority, of the 484 driving tests which were cancelled last week at short notice, the majority of them were because of the road conditions around the test centre being dangerous. Jean McConnell, Jean and Carrick McCross, what happened, Jean?
Yeah, good afternoon, Joe. Yeah, my young fellow was due for his test on last Tuesday morning in Dundalk. We live outside Carrickmacross, which is about 30 kilometres away from Dundalk.
Okay.
We had a lesson booked for before that. His test was at 8:20. And we had a lesson booked before that at 7:00.
We left
the house at 6:30. We drove into Carrickmacross and to Dundalk. His instructor was there. They done the lesson, and I drove around the roads while I was waiting on my son during the lesson. And the roads were perfectly, totally clear. It was snowing a little bit, but nothing was sticking on the roads because they had been gritted. We then depart in the car park to wait for the driving instructor to come out. About 8:10 or 8:15, a lassie came out from the office and just said it's been cancelled due to the adverse weather. Now, there was no adverse weather, and we have no problem with cancelling a test if the weather was adverse or very bad or dangerous, definitely dangerous to everybody. but come out and tell the truth. Don't tell lies.
Well, it's what they saw. And Jean, could you say, well, can I speak to you to the supervisor?
There was no. They spoke to the. He was taking the test in the instructor's car. So they only spoke to in through the window of the car, said of this, and then moved on to the next car, next instructor, and told them the same.
Now but the test was gone.
Yeah, 2 weeks prior to that.
Yeah.
My son, 3 weeks prior to that, sorry, he was also due to take his test, and they sent an email out a couple of days before test has been cancelled. That was good weather, fine weather, and no reason. This is the third time before Christmas, I think it was November time, also cancelled with no reasoning. So they're just using this. If they're afraid to drive round and give a test with the windows closed, come out. If the government should come out and say, this is what's happening, and we're cancelling all tests until it's safe to do so, say it, but don't be... As the lady said there, we had to drive 30 kilometres. I had to take time off work to take my son to that. And it's just a total inconvenience and for everybody.
Yeah. But that is their job. They are driver testers. They're members of a very strong union, a very effective union force. They're full-time employees, so it's irrelevant of any tests. And it should be irrelevant of any test they do on any given day anyway. Where's Joe? Joe is in Dublin.
Yeah, I'm still here. Yeah, Joe. I'm still here.
The test was cancelled 15 minutes beforehand.
Yeah.
Okay. Sean Colopy is in Limerick. Sean.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks. Your point, please.
Joe, I was just listening to the... I know that in Limerick here that there's no test being cancelled. Unless the conditions are very bad. And I know, and I've seen testers, and they go out and they check the roads in the mornings, they check beforehand, and if they don't find that they're safe to go and they're safe for a pupil to go or someone to go out and their test, and then they don't allow them out on the test. And 99 times out of 100, then they're
so
correct in their decision.
Okay. So what's the situation? I don't know who you appeal it to, but what's the situation at the minute as regards essential workers? Because we're dealing with an issue shortly about passports. The passport office is closed as well, apparently. I didn't realise that. What about essential workers getting their tests? Because they need to have a qualification to drive unaccompanied.
Yeah, well, you see, this essential worker... is so vague at the moment because there's a lot of people claiming to be essential workers. You have, for argument's sake, you have a fifth year and a sixth year student that's going in and they're telling them that they're working at McDonald's, they're working in Dunn's, they're working in the Tesco for 4 hours a week, right? So they're deemed essential on top of that. But yes, you have cases like I know for a fact, right, because I've come across it. 2 weeks ago, in another test centre in the Limerick area, there was someone went in for a test. Now, 3 weeks prior to that, they had asked the RSA, were they deemed to be essential because of what was their story? So the RSA wrote back to them, say, yes, you are essential. You may go for your driving test. So they went in for the driving test, right? And the tester decided, no, in my opinion, you're not essential. But yes, the RSA said, from their email to her, yes, you are essential. But the tester decided in his own wisdom, no, you're not essential. And another case about 2-3 weeks ago, right, in the Limerick area again, where a teacher went in for to have her test, and the tester asked her, what are you doing? And she, are you essential? Yes, I am essential. What do you do? And she said, I'm a teacher. And the tester said, oh, no, I don't think you're essential. You're online at the moment, so you couldn't be essential. So she wouldn't take her out and test. Now,
hello,
that's
John.
Yes, that's John.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, that particular person now has to come back when the school's open and take a day off school to go and do her driving test.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, John, your quick point, please, John.
Yeah, no, very quickly, Joe. I mean, again, as I said earlier, I mean, anybody can contest these if they so wish. That's not a problem because the tester has to be prepared to stand behind the decision.
Yeah, but hang on, John, where do you contest it?
That's the district court.
And have you ever been called to the district court?
Not as a tester myself.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
That says it all.
But again, as part of my training, one of the modules that one of the aspects we had to do.
But I've never heard of anyone challenging a driving test in a district court. and it's not going to happen in a pandemic. A little more, if people did challenge successfully, please let us know. Lil Murphy in Wexford, finally, before the break. Lil, you say you're a driving instructor and you say throw the whole kit and caboodle out at the minute, just stop driving tests.
Hi, Joe. Yes, I believe that at the moment, between weather, but the biggest thing is COVID.
Yeah.
Ronan Glynn said on the briefing yesterday evening that masks do not save you from COVID. Yeah. Social distancing is the biggest thing. And yet all testers and instructors are in cars in close proximity with people, okay?
So are they cancelled in, are the tests cancelled in England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland? Do you know?
They're all cancelled.
Are they?
They're all cancelled.
Are they okay?
Yes. And they were cancelled in Ireland up to, like, for the first lockdown. Shane Ross at the time said we would be the last to go back to work. And they brought us back without telling us in June of last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is another option to this. Like, the biggest thing is people need to be able to drive to get to work, especially essential drivers.
Yes.
Essential workers.
Especially,
they need to be able to
especially
get to work.
As we're being told, effectively, inter alia, the car is to say, if you're lucky enough to have a car, the car is the safest place. We're walking probably a bit safer, cycling if you can. But because public transport is down to 25% of capacity, I don't know how the public transport companies can survive. So we're told effectively, as I say, inter alia, that the car is the safest place. So what is your suggesting, Lil? If anything.
What I'm suggesting is, to me, it's the fairest thing. And testers need to protect themselves. They're all of, a certain number of them are of a certain vintage.
Yeah.
They can have issues. I myself am not working at the moment because of underlying conditions, right?
Okay.
I can't afford to catch COVID with family issues, right? There's testers like that. Look at who knows the learner with regards to their ability better than an instructor? The instructor knows their own learners better than any tester does in reality. They're going out for 30 minutes with a tester when we've had them out for 20 hours.
Yeah.
I believe that testers are regulated by the RSA. Yeah. They're tested by the RSA.
Well, they're employed, aren't they?
Well, no, we're individually.
No, your instructors are individuals. The testers, the testers are employed by the RSA.
Oh, yes, the testers are. Well, I'm talking about instructors are regulated by the RSA.
I know that, yeah.
They're tested by the RSA. They have to pay a fee for their license every year, right?
Another quango tax.
Okay, trust us. Trust us as instructors that we will give a temporary cert to our learners who we feel are capable and have applied for their test and are capable of sitting it. And capable of driving on the road.
They will immediately say, because there is a financial relationship between yourself and the applicant, you are, whether you like it or not, you would be influenced to give them the document.
Well, this is where I preface this with trust us.
Okay.
Hello,
I will not put my name to a cert and put somebody out there that's going to kill someone.
Okay.
Right. Let me do that. Let me say, you, Joe Duffy, in my opinion, are capable of driving on your own. You're well able to pass.
Is there no way we could commandeer or whatever, given that we're commandeering everything at the minute, from hotels to private hospitals to golf clubs for vaccination? Could we not commandeer some, empty industrial estates and say these will be controlled areas for testing? And that the person, the driver, the applicant, will be in a car with a walkie-talkie being given instructions by an instructor who's not in the car but is visible and vice versa.
But it has to be a standard test, Joe, and it has to be meeting traffic. You have to be meeting traffic and you have to be out on the road.
Yeah, we'll hire the 17 drivers they have. There's people do this in Fair City. You don't think those cars are real going back and forward. They're people who are employed to drive their cars back and forward. Like, all these problems are easily overcome in the new world that we live in.
Joe,
the simplest way to do it would be to trust instructors to let them give a temporary cert and let the testing continue when it's safe.
Hello,
testers need to be able to be safe, and so does instructors. I've seen instructors with no masks on them.
No, okay. Who's trying to come in there? Is it Sean or
Jean? No, Joe, Jean here, yeah. Just listen to what that lady's saying. The RSA is not going to do that with instructors, because if you take, for instance, last week when our son was there, while he was there and while I was there waiting on him, there was three different instructors from three different companies giving lessons before their test. Now, they didn't believe the instructors that the weather was okay. The instructors wouldn't have given those lessons if it wasn't safe to do so.
Okay.
So the RSA is not going to trust.
Yeah. But there has
the instructors are trying to get their clients ready to sit a test just to
But they're not going to do that if it's not safe to do it. So really, the RSA, when the time came for his test, they should have tucked the instructors instructions and say, well, yes, we've done our test, it's safe to do so.
Joe, can I say something?
Who's this? John here. John, is it?
Yeah,
Sean.
Sorry, Joe, there's an option on the RSA website, right? If you think that the weather is going to be too inclement the following day or anything like that, you can actually cancel your test without penalty or anything like that.
Yeah.
So that option is on the RSA website.
Yeah, but hang on, Sean, real world at the minute. Most people are waiting a long time at a driving test. They need a driving test.
But it's,
the last thing they're going to do is...
It's all about safety in the end, Joe. And
we had no bad weather. Sorry, we had no bad weather to cancel any test.
Well, there was bad weather in some places.
But if it's all about safety, Sean, why do we allow people who are not qualified to drive around housing estates?
Because they're under instruction, if they are. There's a lot of people.
They're not under instruction. They're under test.
They're
being tested. I know, that's not a driving lesson. I'm talking about a driving test. You know what I mean? Anyway, is there a way around? If anyone has ideas that are anyway more sensible, Little Morpheus hit the nail on the head. If this RSA statement is what they're standing over, well, then there should be no driving test at the minute. 51551. Good evening, Margaret. My chance.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
There's a website called onlyfans.com. Now, I can't look it up because it's barred on the RTE Wi-Fi, which normally bars, I presume, pornographic websites or whatever, but OnlyFans is barred on the RTE. So I can't see it. I've never seen it. But I saw Claire Bourne last night, and you saw the interview with Matty Gilbert from Wicklow. And he's on OnlyFans. It's an online subscription service. You place yourself on it and then people subscribe to you, so to speak. Matty says most people pay him $20 a month. And then you supply daily photographs, videos, one-to-one chats to your fans, to your OnlyFans. And Matty, in a revelation that will come as great news to the revenue, he told Claire last night, that he earns 50k a month from posting online. That was, and it's obviously you have to be a certain age. And then Brenda Power put the argument about saying it to her daughters. Listen, I hope you're not on OnlyFans. I've reservations. And they told her what they could do with her reservations. And I think that they're young women. They're over 18, as far as I know. But this is a much more serious side to it now. We've been contacted by the mother this morning, by the mother of one such OnlyFans user. Now, remember, you volunteered to go on it. You're the one that's making money out of it. So you're the one that's given permission. You're the one that decides what to post for your subscribers. Now, take it from there yourself in your own imagination. This is the letter from the mother of an OnlyFans user, her daughter.
Dear Joe, in my opinion, OnlyFans is an absolutely dreadful website that exploits young, vulnerable adults. As far as I can see, they do not carry out any mental health checks on their content providers. And sadly, my daughter has been sucked in, and it is pornography. My daughter opened her bedroom door to this, and sadly she has lost the key. Subscribers now pay her up to €20,000 per month to see her sexy, raunchy content. Her usage of OnlyFans escalated during the pandemic, and it has taken over her life. My daughter is totally alone now, with exception of her virtual fans who are not real people. It started out with abs pics, and then moved on to more raunchy stuff, personalised by her fans. My daughter was a seemingly well-adjusted young woman who was enjoying her studies and holding down her job. Then literally overnight, that all disappeared. She became obsessed with this OnlyFans site. And now she has left us all behind too. For parents listening, they should be aware that it may start off with a few sexy pics, but it can escalate to something far sinister, like it did in my daughter's case. This is like an addiction, but there's no helpline for this thing. It came into her bedroom and it took over her life. I don't know how to help her or who to call. Can any of your listeners advise me on what to do now or how to help? Or if anyone has been through this and come out the other side, I would be forever grateful for advice on this.
And I've just been handed, it's all, as I say, we can't look at the site here, it's barred in RTE, but OnlyFans, but Wikipedia, which again is not entirely reliable, but it says, OnlyFans is a content subscription service based in London, in the UK. Content creators, i.e. our caller's daughter, can earn money from users who subscribe to their content, the fans, i.e. It is popular with sex workers, but also hosts content creators from other genres, such as physical fitness experts, musicians, and other creators who post regularly online. It allows content creators to receive funding directly from their fans on a monthly basis, as well as one-time tips and monetary tips, obviously, and pay-per-view. A fan of a content creator, I'm thinking of this chap you would have seen. He was in the paper as well, Matty Gilbert, a fine-looking, I think he's a lumberjack, is he? He looks like a lumberjack from Wicklow. Lovely, lovely man. The fan of a content creator, and he said he's earning a much, 20k a month. A fan of a content creator can view their content for a monthly subscription fee. The company pays 80% of the fees collected to the content creator, retaining the remaining 20% after merchant and processing fees. The company share ends up at around 12%. Okay, 51551, my hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Back to quarantining, which is came into the UK yesterday with lots of complications, it seems. James McCarthy. James is from Cork. Where are you now, James?
Hey, Joe. I'm back in West Cork.
Okay. What was it like coming back to Ireland for a start?
Well, the time I came back was the 16th of January, so I was a bit anxious because that was when it was at the height of the pandemic here in this country. And I booked myself accommodation up in Tipperary and camped out there for 2 weeks.
Oh, you self-quarantined without any...
I did. No. I had no idea what I was going to come in contact with between leaving Brisbane and arriving at my final destination. So coming through Dublin, I had no intention of coming straight home. I had no idea what I was going to come in contact with.
But you weren't forced into quarantine by any stretch.
No, all I got was restrict my movements for 14 days. That was it.
And was there, by the way, in those 14 days, were you checked or were you contacted?
No, Joe, all I got was a text message asking me to confirm where I said I would be from a passenger locator form.
And you came from Australia, and I presume the reason why you, well, apart from your own sense of safety to yourself and others, I presume the reason why you self-quarantined and booked a separate house to quarantine in and stocked up with the gnar noodles or whatever you stock up with, is because you were coming from Australia where there is quarantine, very strict quarantine.
Yeah, so that was the experience of being Australian, living the best way I can describe it as a zero COVID society, where the only COVID is in quarantine. The day-to-day living is normal for the most part. So when I was taken out of that environment and putting it into the unknown, I wasn't going to risk that to family members down here in West Cork.
Okay, but you know the argument put forward by the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach, I know they're working on quarantine infrastructure, but they're saying the general mantra seems to be the difficulties may outweigh the benefits.
Yeah, that's weak. I don't want to be coming on telling politicians what to do. However, there is difficult decisions to make, And I think Micheál Martin said last week, last on Morning Ireland, he said, I don't want to be a prisoner in my own country. And my instant reaction was, I'd rather be a prisoner in the country than at home. There's, to be able to move around the country freely.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
Do your driving test without fear of spreading the test or spreading the virus. Have a normal life here in the country. Mm-hmm. The moment it's not that.
So you're saying quarantine? Go for it.
It's not easy. It's not perfect. But if anybody in this country wants to live some semblance of a normal life, from what I've experienced, there's no other option
for people coming into the country.
And exactly, and that goes the same for people when they leave the country. Let them leave the country, but they have to quarantine as soon as they come back, and they have to pay for it themselves.
Say you land at Dublin Airport or Cork or Shannon or Knock, and you can't pay for it.
Sorry, say it again, Joe.
Say you land in Ireland and you don't have. It's going to be, if it's 1,700 quid in the UK, you'll be guaranteed, if you go in comparison like the NCT, it'll be double here by the time we see it.
You don't come in. The numbers are reduced.
So you don't get on the plane at the other end.
You don't. No, you're not left on. And you can't even, you shouldn't be able to book your ticket without booking quarantine simultaneously.
Okay. James, stay with us, James, because Niall Steins is on WhatsApp because he's in Thailand. Niall, good afternoon from Dublin.
How are you doing, sir? You well?
Good, thanks, Niall. Thanks for joining us. What is the situation in Thailand in terms of quarantine, Niall?
It's very strict, like James was saying. We actually spoke last August. When I got home to Ireland in August, okay. I did self quarantine myself, and I just booked a hotel for 2 weeks. And you know, it's just a vastly different experience quarantining in Ireland than it is quarantining. I don't know about other countries, but in Thailand.
You told us, which was an education for a lot of people at the time, you'd walk through immigration Dublin Airport unchallenged. No one asked me where I was arriving from, where I was whether I was planning on doing a quarantine or not, if I had a place to go. And I think, was there an issue with the taxi driver saying I'm not bothered wearing a mask or something?
Yeah. I went out. When I left the airport, I had a mask on, and like I was kitted out with all the, had the mask and the visor, and I was wearing the polythene gloves. And the taxi driver just took a look at me and he said, like, basically, I hope you're not expecting me to be wearing any of that, like, you know. Okay. And I said, you know, it's your call, like, you know, there was no visor between us, like, you know. Like, I sent some photos to your people there at the desk, and I was showing them what it's like here when you get off the plane, like, you know.
Okay, do your best, which you can, in terms of description. Well, what happens when you landed back in Thailand?
So when I landed in Thailand, got off the plane, and there's a 4-point checkpoint between you and going through to arrivals. Okay. So like they sit you down in the lobby of like the duty free area. Yeah. They come over, they check your documents, and just even before you, like James was saying, like, you know, you have to make sure you book your quarantine. You have to do that before going to Thailand. You have to supply the embassy in London. They don't do it here in Dublin for whatever reason, but you have to supply the embassy in London with a proof that you've booked a quarantine facility for 2 weeks, proof that you have, like, you have to book a visa, you need to have your own insurance. So you need to have your own insurance, plus it has to state on it that you have up to $100,000 insurance specifically for COVID-19. Okay. So should you have COVID-19, they obviously take you to a hospital, and from that point on, they're charging your insurance company. So you need to show all that once you get to the, you need to show all that just to get an actual certificate of entry before you're allowed to board a plane. So they give you a certificate of entry. And the other thing is that when the certificate of entry that we get in Ireland, so you have to get, if you're applying for it, you have to apply in London. Yeah. And any cases, any passengers arriving from Britain or Ireland, we are different than anybody else because of this new British strain of COVID. So basically, like, the way it works over here is you do two tests. You do a test before you get on the plane as well. You have to have a PCR test within 72 hours of boarding the plane. And then when you go to your quarantine facility, they test you on day 5 and day 12. Day 5 and day 13. And the way it works with the British strain is they say if you're from Britain or Ireland, you're not allowed to leave your room until day 14.
Wow.
So for 14 days, I've been in the room. You're not even allowed mosey around the grounds of the hotel even.
So you can't do well. You presume you might be able to do something in the room, but you can't do a lap at a hotel jogging.
No, you're allowed to go out like.
And how
I'm doing my second COVID test tomorrow.
Yeah.
So basically Thursday I'll be allowed, like, well, providing I get a negative test, of course. My first test was negative, so I don't see why I wouldn't get my second test wouldn't be negative. So from Thursday I will be allowed mosey around the hotel, and then on Saturday I check out and I'm free to go wherever I want then.
Wow. And how is it policed? Well, there's a heavy police presence in Thailand at the best of times, but what's...
Yeah, well, like, that's it. That, like, you're, you know, once you get off the plane, you're just taken straight through to... Like, everyone has to do this. There's not one person that arrives in Thailand. Like, even if you're a Thai citizen, you have to do this. So it's not an option.
So why would you come to Ireland and to go back, given how expensive it is?
Well, I went back to Ireland. I had to do some personal matters. Okay. I had to meet some clients and other stuff. And I hadn't had Christmas at home in 3 years, so I was looking forward to that.
Yeah.
So I had my Christmas, like, as soon as Christmas was over, my plan was to go back in January. Then the lockdown happened in Ireland, and we were told at the end of the month the lockdown will technically be over, but they extended it again. And I just said, you know what, I said in January, I'll book for January, or sorry, for February the 8th. Mm-hmm. And I've had some issues. I actually ended up going on February the 4th, but it's really difficult to fly right now. Like, I booked about 5 flights, you know, every single one of them was cancelled.
And just again, how is it policed? Because if we have quarantine in Ireland, which we're due to have in the next few weeks, the thing is, how are you going to police it?
Well, like, that's the thing. Like, I think if you just make people aware, like, look, this is for the public interest. You know, if you want to go away, you can, but you have to do this when you come home. And it needs to be a situation where it's not for profit. You know what I mean? Like, we need to, like, how many hotels right now are empty? You know, we don't have tourists coming into the country. So if the way it's done here, if you're, it's called an ASQ, which is alternative state quarantine. So if you apply to the Thai government for status as an ASQ hotel, the condition is that you agree to not take any other guests.
Okay.
So they're not allowed. You know, they're not allowed to take in people looking for a place to stay for a couple of days. They're only allowed to have incoming visitors. So, like, if Ireland did something similar to that and said, okay, well, like, these hotels, they have to have, like, it has to be a full board situation, because, like, you're not allowed to have family members bringing you food around at that.
Can you order in food, Niall?
No, everything is provided by the hotel.
Just regarding the policing of it. In Victoria, they brought in a private security company.
Yeah.
Now, there was a lot of issues at the start of that. I don't know if your listeners could remember, there was a bit of a debacle. But
now, some of the private security staff start boogieing with some of the people in quarantine. That's the rumor.
Yeah. That's the rumor. And they had an investigation into it, and it turned out to be BS. Turned out to be false.
Okay. But it did spread from the quarantine centre, so it does need to be policed strictly.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, okay. James, Niall again, because Niall isn't on my screen, he's on WhatsApp. Niall, in terms of, say, the food, do you have any choice?
Yeah, it's really efficient, I have to say. Like, the equivalent of WhatsApp in Thailand is an app called Line ID.
Okay.
And they when you originally check in, they say add us on Line ID, like you would on WhatsApp. And every day they text you a menu, and you just pick what you want from the menu. Just, like, you know.
And how do you pass the day?
They try to make it as comfortable as possible. Like, you know, you have your big screen TV in the room, and they give you access to stuff like Netflix and, you know, Prime and YouTube and stuff like that. I also have stuff to be doing here that keep me busy, like, you know. And
have you a kettle and a Barry's tea?
You have a kettle. They give you tea bags. They give you a full tray of stuff. They give you some snacks as well on a daily basis. And, you know, you have your bits and pieces to wash and all that kind of stuff. Like, they give you actual washing up liquids because, like, you know, it's not a regular hotel environment. You know, once you actually step inside your room, you don't see another person for 13 days. You know what I mean? So, like, no one comes in to...
Have you a balcony?
Some hotels do. I don't. I did complain on day 7, I think it was, because I was actually initially put into a room that didn't even have a window.
What?
They had these... I don't know why they put me in there, but I was like, seriously, I just want to be able to see outside. And they said, yeah, just, like, you know, just ask us. We'll have no problem.
There are hotel rooms in Thailand that have no windows.
Yeah, this was on the top floor. I don't know why. I'm not sure why, but, you know, for whatever reason, there was no
window. So you were literally looking at the four walls?
Yeah.
What about...
I was actually fine for 6 days. And then day 7, I just had this real anxiety attack of claustrophobia. And I was like, give me a window.
Typical Irish question. Are you allowed to bring in alcohol, Niall?
No.
No alcohol?
No, because... Yeah, and alcohol will affect your temperature. You have to check your temperature twice a day.
Wow.
So they ask you to sign up to another app called Coste, C-O-S-T-E, and twice a day you take your temperature and input it. And if it's above a certain point...
Is that one of the reasons why Thailand, with a population of 70 million, the latest figures I can find say 64 deaths?
Yeah.
No, that 64 is awful, by the way. But Ireland Republic is now approaching 4,000 with a population of 5 million.
Yep.
But and Niall, I presume there's no point in... I presume people aren't leaving the country at the minute. If it's all that hassle to get back in.
Yeah, like, there's no tourists coming because there's, you know, it's no point. But... you know, like, they had an outbreak just before Christmas, and that put them into panic mode again. So, like, they had 100 days of no cases, no domestic cases. The only people that had COVID were people that came back to the country. But and like you say, they all have to quarantine, and it's detected. You know, no one gets through this death. No one gets through the net. But on December 19th, they had an outbreak in a food market. But that was because people were actually trafficked into the country from Myanmar to work in the seafood market.
Wow!
And from that one outbreak, it caused 20,000 cases. You know what I mean? They had less than 4,000 cases up until December.
And then there was a spike. Massive spike.
Yeah, massive spike because of that. So that threw them back into lockdown. But, you know, they've gone from... I think it was they were getting about 1,200 cases a day, and they're down to less than 200 now. Mm. So, like, you know, they really, like, when they had the spike, they just locked down again, and within 3 weeks, it's just been flattened out. And it's just discipline. That's really all it comes down to, you know. Yeah. Just there's no people marching around the city centre saying, you know, I should have the freedom to not wear a mask. You know what I mean? There's none of that kind of lark.
Okay. I'm a little bit wary, Niall, of asking you about the politics in Thailand because of this scenario with the Thai royal family. You're not allowed to criticise them. But there are protests on the street, is there not?
Yeah, there's protests on the streets. There's it's called the Les Majest rules. It basically means you're not allowed to...
Yeah.
Be critical at all of the monarchy in Thailand. It's you know, the students, most of the protesters are young people, mm-hmm. and they're students, and they're not happy with the situation, and, like, you know, it's between them and their government. I don't really like to get involved.
Okay, I don't want you. I'm very conscious that you're a visitor. What was it worth it coming home, Niall? Is that given what you've gone through and the cost of it?
It wasn't, because when I got home, I didn't actually meet the clients. You know what I mean? Okay. I came home to do three things, and the only thing that I actually got around to doing was having the Christmas dinner with the family, like, you know, but I could have done that. I could have just came home for Christmas to do that, like, you know. Yeah. So,
is there, like, are you allowed, for example, are you allowed to receive post, Niall? I know it's too late now. I'm thinking, could someone post you your favourite newspaper or provincial paper or whatever? Most things are online at this stage anyway.
Well, like, my girlfriend is Thai, and she drops stuff. Like, she'll she'll bring stuff like the paper. She's allowed to bring coffee, but not food. Okay. So she'll like pick up a coffee for me and like.
Why are they allowed to bring coffee and not food?
No idea. Okay. No idea. I'm sure there's some kind of inner workings. Okay. Like James, the reason why I don't have alcohol.
James, same question to you. Are you sorry you came home or glad you came home?
I came off for personal reasons. And there's being away watching all this unfold is very frustrating. I'm sure lots of people living overseas are scratching their heads and wondering what the hell's going on. My mother's in her 70s. I'm just trying to restrict her movement. Do what I can.
All right, Niall, what happens if the fire alarm goes off? I'm not being facetious now, sorry. Is there any circumstances where they allow you to leave the room?
Well, I imagine if the fire alarm goes off, we all have to leave. Like, I'm sure that the fire is a more imminent danger than
virus. But then, given what you're saying, they turn the clock back to 2 weeks again, wouldn't they?
I don't know.
I don't want to be freaking you out. By the way, I do not know, Niall, how you did 7 days in a room with no window. I don't know how you did that. You're some man for one man. Now you'll be.
I tell you,
you'll be liberated again.
I tell you, I was living in an apartment in Carlow that had like the window was right against a concrete wall. It's like, so I'm kind of used to having no view.
In Carlow?
Yeah. When I got home, I rented an apartment, a one-bedroom apartment in Carlow. Okay. And I was like, okay, this is, you know, that's one of the reasons why I do this. Like, you know, just the property situation in Ireland has gone absolutely bananas. Right.
Saying the window in your one-bedroom apartment in Carlow, which was obviously built fairly recently, the window when you looked out, you saw a concrete wall.
Yeah, it wasn't. I wouldn't say it was built recently. I'd say it's probably very old. It was basically like a kind of a studio apartment above a shop unit.
Okay.
And
But if you got down on your hands and knees, could you see the sky through the window?
You could see the sky out of a roof light. There was a roof light over the bed.
That's just enough.
Other than that, that's all you are.
Okay. What box sets have you watched? What's been your favourite viewing?
To be honest, I haven't watched that much TV. I've been watching Vikings and I sleep. But I got stuff to do. Like, you know, I do. Like, I work online, so like, you know, my clients send me stuff.
You're busy. Do what I'm here. Okay. Yeah. And by the way, do you pay any? Do you have to pay extra for Wi-Fi or pay extra for toiletries or washing powder?
No. Everything is included in the price, but there are extras if you want them. Like, so for example, if you want, like, your meals cover you, but if you did want to order an extra burger, you could send down, they'll bring it up for you. Like, you know, I get a coffee every day. That's extra. You can also rent stuff like a game console, you know, if you wanted to play Xbox or something like that, that, you know, keep you busy for 2 weeks, you can do that.
Well done, Niall Stein. You'll be free in what, 2 or 3 days?
I check out on Saturday.
Good man. Well, then that's today's Tuesday. Okay. Well, I hope it goes safely for you, Niall. I really do. I think. But you're in no doubt. Either are you, James, that quarantine should be brought in Ireland.
Well, yeah, but I honestly, the fine is what really I take issue with. Like, you know, it just doesn't do any good. You know, what good does it do to fine someone 2,000 euros?
Yeah, well,
like,
as we heard on this program last Thursday week, people had factored in the fine, the Frank and Una fine, which was, I think, 100 quid at the time. And then the government, obviously, over the weekend, the following weekend, there was uproar over Frank and Una in the Grand Canaries, and they upped the fine. But people had added in the fine to the cost of their holiday. But anyway, okay, James McCarthy, I know you're in Ireland. Stay safe to you and your family. Kind regards, James. And Niall Steins, who's in a hotel in Thailand. Niall, go safely over the next few days. joe@rt.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Channel Ground producer Ray Darcy's next.